Remember when you were a child, just a small kid minding your own business, playing outside the door, out in around the garden and in the grass? Well, maybe you don't do that much anymore, but when I was a child, I remembered quite vividly. And one particular day I was outside, and I got a little bit, well, you might say I lost my way, because I ended up running through Mom's garden, which was along the side of the house. And I come in the house and I had mud all over my feet. My mom said, "That looks like that is mud from my garden, isn't it?" And I went, huh? No, Mom, no, I was in your garden. I wasn't in your garden. You know what? You know what they say today? I mean, you're standing there in the porch, and you got mud all over your feet, and the mud is the same mud that came out of the garden beside the house. And you say, oh no, not me. Well, I was caught without excuse. And that's the name of my sermon today, Without Excuse. Let's say a short prayer and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to bring forth another message from my battle site for Christ, for the radio broadcast here on the Just Jesus Radio Network every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. I just love it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of this ministry. And Lord, I pray that the listeners will continue to listen. And if they have any questions, they have any thoughts, then they can send them to me at tillhecomes.net. Battle Site for Christ, tillhecomes.net. Or to the Just Jesus Radio Network. They'll get them too, you know. Anyway, without excuse, we are without excuse. There's a man in the Bible whom every Christian knows very well. No, don't get ahead of me now. You just think you know who it is. There is a man, though, that every Christian knows very well. Well, we probably know them all, so go ahead, think. Who do you think it is? Who? No, it wasn't him. He wasn't even a Christian. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's him, yeah. Okay. For if they don't, then they're not a Christian, because they don't know this Christian at all. It's that simple. His name is, oh, you guessed it, didn't you? Yes, you did. Starts with a P, right? Paul, right? Paul. Ooh, yeah. Following his conversion on the road to Damascus, God called him. God called Paul and separated him unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 1, which says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Wow! What a job! You know, in a way, when you really think hard on it, aren't all us Christians called to be a part of this great ministry, separated unto the gospel? Aren't we? Sure we are. I mean, Paul was a very special person. God used him in a mighty way, but God uses whomever he will. Whomever he will. So don't ever say, well, I don't think I'd do it. God can't make me do it. Well, we won't get into that, all right? Now, since Paul's conversion is clearly outlined in the scriptures, and he professed in chapter 1, verse 15, he said, so as much as in me is, pardon me, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Ooh. Now, if we slip down the page, beginning at verse 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I've got to read that again. Because that is so powerful. Just so powerful. Verse 18. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Are you listening? Here it comes. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Wow. What words? It just knocked me off my feet. Now, if we look back at Acts, the book of Acts 17, verse 30, we will read, "And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." In layman's terms, to get your act together. This is not a request, people. It's a commandment. He's not winking at these times anymore. His commandment to us is to repent. And it's not just men, it's women, it's everybody to repent. Okay? It's a commandment. Now, if we go back to Romans 1, verse 19, we find out why. Because, here's what it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them." You got that? Do you want me to say it again? "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them." You see, that's why we are without excuse. Because God has shown unto us what happened at Calvary and why it happened. Do you get that? And the very next verse adds the final note, verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Without excuse. Without excuse. Have you got that? Without excuse. Isn't that what I call my message today? Right. That's the title. And that's exactly how it will be when the lost and perishing stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will be without excuse. You will not stand there and be pampered. I guarantee it. Nor will you be able to change your mind. Go back, get all tongue tied and say, "Look, I didn't understand at the time, but I know now. I get this. Yeah, yeah. I got it now. Sure. Yeah. I'll do it now. Yeah." No, it won't work. Your mind was made up long ago. You are without excuse. Without excuse. And hellfire awaits. Hellfire awaits. Terrible words. Terrible. Now, that's not a pleasant thought, is it? A man once said to me, I used to be a Christian. Spent half of my life going to church and listening to some hypocrite preachers tell me how good God is and how He answers our prayers. God has never answered a single prayer for me. Then, as he was walking away, he called out, I've had it. I've had it. I say to you people, did he really have it? Did he? Do you? And you? Did he really have what? Did he really have the gospel? We don't know for sure, do we? Sounds like a man who won the lottery, then spent it all on hard living. He had it, but he lost it. But it wasn't salvation. I'm here to tell you, people, the salvation of Jesus Christ once given unto the saints can never be exhausted. It can be spent and spent, and if you'll pardon the expression, it still remains a full meal deal. My friends, it's the only thing in this crazy world I'm sure of. Absolutely sure of. When you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then he enters into your once worthless soul and takes up residence by way of the Holy Spirit. Not for an hour, or a day, or a week, or a year, but for all, get this, all eternity. How long is eternity? We don't know. But when you get to heaven, where you'll be spending the eternity, you might want to ask Jesus. That's up to you. How I love Psalm 12. Are you familiar with Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7? Listen to this. I love it. I say it almost every day. It's always on the tips of my lips, or tips of my tip of my tongue, I guess that's it. Here it is, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Let me read it again. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I could say it over and over again, over and over. I never get tired of hearing that. How long is it? How long? Forever. Forever. If you think otherwise, then you don't serve the same God I do. You don't. How many church pastors who were once steadfast in the faith for Christ have fallen into soft times? Not hard times, soft times. Did you hear me? I said soft times, not hard times. Soft times means that they've lost their spiritual direction and fortitude for the sake of compromise. Just like the new evangelical money-hungry losers that make God vomit. They don't preach the full gospel anymore. It hurts too much. It makes too many demands. Nobody can live up to those conditions. Really. With God's help, you can. God's not saying you'll be perfect. Not until you get home to glory. That's when the perfection sets in. Because as long as you're in this old flesh, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. That's why He went to Calvary. That's why He suffered and bled and died on that cross. To save us from our sins. Compromise is probably the filthiest, worst possible word any Christian could ever allude to, unless you're preaching against it. God hates a compromiser, because a compromiser is not a child of the King. They only think they are. God have mercy on them. I admire pastors who don't give up or give in when their spiritual ship is crossing rough waters, like our pastor at Cornerstone. Whether the chairs be full or mostly empty, this man of God lets you have it with both barrels blazing. No shortcuts, but always, always the full meal deal, as God intended. I say full meal deal because once the Holy Spirit enters in, you'll never hunger or thirst again. That's how full the meal is. The meal of salvation. The meal of salvation. Don't you just love it? How many people come to church weekly or week after week and all they do is take up space? All they do is taste. Not drink in, not, you know, swallow, but taste of the Word of God. No, they don't eat it up. They just sip on it, nip on it. And when they leave, guess what? They're still hungry and thirsting. People, you've got to eat it up. You've got to drink the cup empty, or you'll go through the rest of your life with a hunger and thirst you can't quench. Not ever. And it lets you have it, I'm telling you, with both barrels. As some of you may know, It's not easy being a full-time Christian. But the fact of the matter is, there ain't no other kind of Christian. You got that? Just like there ain't no other kind of God. I'll add this little story while I still have time. At a place I used to work during my current job. Well, yeah, maybe that didn't sound right. At a place I used to work, anyway, every night I would walk around with a long stick, poke my way through the dark silence. And every now and then, I would use the stick to scratch in the mud, the soft mud, or in the snow, whatever the case may be. I would use my stick, poke my way through the silence. And every now and then, I would use a stick to scratch crosses. Crosses. Like three crosses. Jesus in the middle, and the thieves on either side. Scratch them very quickly in the mud or in the snow. I'd make them as big as I could because I wanted God to see them. Wow. Like he can't. Yeah? Why? Well, because these symbols, these three crosses, were always crosses. Sometimes one, sometimes three. And I'd pray. I'd pray as I wandered on through the darkness for everything and everybody. That's you too, and you, and you. All of you. Not so long ago, after a heavy snow, my crosses kept being destroyed. Either by the plow or the wind or someone just dragging their feet through them. One night I returned to my office and searched on the video monitor to see how my crosses were doing and to do a little exploring on the outside. The storm grew worse and worse, and I couldn't see them. So I prayed to God. I prayed to God to tell them they were there, like he didn't know, huh? God, my crosses are out there. They're out there. And I asked him if he had seen them. Now, this might sound a little crazy to you, having a one-on-one with God like this. So intimate, right? I talk to God a lot like that. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's a blessing indeed. So I pray to God and tell him, hey, God, they're there, like he knew, like he didn't know. Sure he knew. Later that night, when the storm abated, as I looked on the video monitor, on a small incline that had been plowed bare, my eyes began to well up with tears when I saw God's way of answering me, but most of all, blessing me in the aftermath of the plow. In the aftermath of the plow was a cross. A giant cross. A large, rugged cross. I took a photo of it. It was a rugged cross. I'll always cherish that cross. For it reminds me of another cross, the cross that gave me a new life, because Jesus Christ allowed himself to be stricken, to be spat upon, and to be nailed to a cross on Mount Calvary. You know, every once in a while, I'll look at that photograph. And like I said, maybe someday I'll put it on my website and you'll be able to see for yourself. It is an old, rugged cross. It's not pretty. It's not well-defined. But it is God's way of saying to me, thank you. Thank you. As I close, I'll say this. I'm nobody special. I'm just another sinner saved by grace. Just another sinner. But you know, every once in a while, God has shown me His blessings. And He will show you too. All you have to do is ask. Ask. You have to love Him. You have to believe in Him. You have to obey His word. Then ask of anything that He wants you to have. But He's waiting for you to ask Him. That's the God I serve. You have to love Him. You have to obey Him. I mean, didn't He love us first? Look what Jesus did for us. I pray with all my heart that something, whether it be one line or one word in this message today, will move your heart in a way that will draw you closer to the cross. God loves you. God loves me. And I ain't the easiest thing in the world to love, but He does. And one day we'll stand there in glory with Him for all eternity. I thank you for listening to this message today, and I pray you've tuned in again next Sunday. And visit my website, battlesightforchristtillhecomes.net. Thank you. In Jesus' name.